Tex-Mex all to hell. I'd like to point out, by the way, that Sarah's clutching a bag of Chex-Mix herself. It's a different kind, though. Did you put on makeup again?
I did.
Okay. What kind of Chex-Mix do you have over there?
I have the sweet and salty, which I used to like more than... I think I like the turtle more.
You know, I got like six bags, and I'm talking the big bag. Like six large bags of that chocolate Chex-Mix for my birthday yesterday. I was tempted to just eat them all at once to try to break myself of the habit. This is how good it is. That chocolate Chex Mix is so good that I'm violating my own hard and fast rule about never eating when I'm on the air. I'm eating right now. This very instant. All right. Just a few moments here, we'll join Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, later on, the Suburban Perspective, the Top 5, Jen Lane, etc. From Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Jim Roof. Hello, sir.
Howdy, hey, man, I swear I'd love that chocolate Chex Mix.
Dude, see, that's what I'm saying. Okay, now let me just tell you a little story about a man named Rick. Here's the thing about this Chex Mix, which I, right there, I'm holding in my hand. Really, no lie, I got like five bags of this from people yesterday because they've heard us talking about it. Now, in the kitchen here at CBS Radio Portland, the vending machine, they started carrying this. And I, to my knowledge, I was the first person in the building to try it. I was sort of the patient zero of the chocolate Chex Mix world. And I said, hey, everybody's got to try this. Sarah tried it, loved it. There's a guy named Court who works down the hall. I've got him eating it now. This guy at the front desk did. They now have not only had they, like you look at the... vending machine, there's all the different rows of snacks. Well, that was consistently the only row that would be gone. In other words, it would be empty. And the guy was having to come back and fill that row like two, three times in a week. Now, I just walked into the kitchen, and now there are multiple rows that are nothing but chocolate Chex Mix. And I have never seen that happen before. That's the first time I've ever seen that happen in a vending machine where more than one row contains exactly the same item.
Hey, the guy who runs that vending machine, he hasn't upped that price, has he?
No, he hasn't, but he knows that he probably could and that I would pay it. I ought to be charging these people. I ought to be charging General Mills to talk about this this golden product that they have created. This is like manna. I mean, it's just, this really is like, it's like some ambrosia of the gods.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man.
All right. I got to put it down right now. All right. Hold on just one second here. Hey, so Tyler Moody's going to be in town tomorrow.
Yeah, you'll like him. He's a good guy.
Now, I was, I told Ed to make sure that, that if we had Ed on during, when Tyler was in the studio with us, to make sure that the ice in his glass was clinking heavily against the sides. To make sure that Tyler knew that Ed frequently does the news, at home while drinking cranberry and vodka juice with his feet up on a coffee table. Right there, just so we can drive home what a hardworking bunch of guys you all are. Even after Ed is off the clock, he joins us.
You gotta have Ed have his wife say in the background, you want a refill, honey?
You know, I don't really have to ask him to do that. That's just sort of a naturally occurring thing.
It's true.
The Capmeister, as he calls her. Hey, what is it? Okay, I got a thing I'm going to ask you about. But first of all, you're talking about this retinal implant thing.
Yeah.
Where the FDA has approved the next study to evaluate, I'm reading now, the artificial retina implant that could restore sight to the blind. I thought they'd been doing this for a long time.
Well, this is 20 years in the making, but they just, that Argus One, that first, that prototype that they used in six patients, just received approval by the FDA that now they can go to the second phase. And what this first implant has done, and plus, you gotta wear these glasses with a camera on it, you know, I mean, there's some crap you gotta wear. But, people were able to distinguish between like a cup of plate and a knife. I mean, those who have been blind for decades,
yeah,
well, to make out crap.
We were talking about this earlier, that it seems like it's about time for this to happen. I mean, in England, can't they just give you like a whole new face?
Yeah, you would think that they could just put a new thing in and you know, splice all the wires together.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Be able to see, you know. But, yeah, this is something, and this particular implant, this first edition, has only 16 of those electrodes. This next one has 60. So they expect it to really make a difference to people who have suffered from, like, macular degeneration or retinitis pigmentosa, you know, any of those age-related sight diseases.
It is pretty weird when you think about it. We live in a strange time when you can literally just take an eye out of somebody and stick it into somebody else, and, you know, more within reason, it sort of begins to work. That's just, that's freaky stuff when you think about it.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool time to be involved in science and engineering all at the same time, you know?
Well, you know, I have this phrase that Douglas Copeland, is an author I like a lot, has written about this, but, you know, really, the past sucks. People talk about, oh, the past, that was a better time. The past sucked. Everything, you know, today is better than yesterday, and tomorrow's going to be better than today. 50 years ago, well, 50 years ago, you'd probably be dead by now, first of all. I mean, you hit 65, and you're dead because all you ate was starch and red meat all day. 100 years ago, you'd be dead from, pneumonia. 200 years ago, you'd be dead from smallpox. Today, you know, the science and technology and advancement and all of that stuff is fantastic. So, I mean, but, you know, by this time, 20 years from now, I'll be able to just have some sort of metallic robotic body that I walk around on.
Yeah.
I need never die, Jim Roop. I might live forever.
As long as you can have chocolate Chex Mix, that's okay.
Dude, that's what I'm talking about. As long as I don't have to eat that RoboCop rudimentary paste thing. Hey, let me ask you this. I'm going to read you now a headline, and I swear to God, this is a real headline. You've probably heard about this. This is from CBS News. This is not from a tabloid. This is not from some sort of untoward news organization. This is from CBS News. Dateline Los Angeles. Journalistic standards seem to have shifted a bit over the last few years, because I don't remember seeing a lot of headlines like this when I was growing up. I swear to God, this is the CBS News headline. Suspicious item detected in man's butt at LAX.
Yeah.
I mean, first of all, when you were going to journalism school, did they tell you to write that way?
No.
Did they tell you to talk about something being in a guy's ass?
No.
How would you have put that when you were coming up in the journalistic world?
Body cavity.
Yeah, where you say where man attempts to smuggle in body or something within man's person. I guess we're just living in a more blunt time. And secondly, so at LAX there's a guy, they found wires, magnets, and then what they're referring to as a third as yet unidentified device.
It was a rock.
It was a rock?
Yeah, and the guy said he got it from another planet.
What?
Yeah. It was very... You know, first of all,
I don't understand.
First of all, the guy goes through this first screening process.
Okay.
And they notice a little wire hanging out of his pants, and he said, "You're going to have to take the wire out of your pants." You know, I don't know if it was hanging out of the top of his pants or the bottom of his pants. I have no idea. This is just what they're telling us at the news conference.
Kind of the month, yeah.
And the guy said, "Well, okay." So he takes the wire, and he pulls the wire out, and he gives it to the guy. And then he goes through that secondary thing where that air puffer thing.
And
some alarm goes off, and he goes, "Oh," and this is from the words of the cops. The guy said, "Oh, I think I know what that might be."
I think I can. Well, here's your problem right here.
So, yeah, they find a battery with some more wires attached to it, and this round rock that he claims is a space rock from another planet.
So, okay, did he explain? What he was doing with these items?
Well, he may have to them, but they didn't tell us.
There was no explanation as to why he was smuggling that in his anus?
Right. Now, I was down there, and the bomb squad, everybody was there, but they were walking around as if there was no big deal. So it drove us nuts as the news guys, because while all these agencies responded to this thing, they're walking around nonchalant like it's no threat, but yet they're not leaving. And they got this guy that they're talking to but haven't arrested about something that alerted during the second screening process, and they weren't telling us. And then trying to explain this to us at the news conference later that afternoon, and they were using the words like lower body cavity and all that kind of stuff. It was just, you know, it was the funniest, I hate to say it, but it was the funniest thing I've covered in I don't know how long.
Just, I would give anything just to see that press conference where they're trying not to talk about the fact that the guy was smuggling stones inside his rectum.
Yeah.
How weird, though, in the story that's the thing they don't reveal. Like, here's the thing. I'm not saying it was a space rock from another planet, but clearly they must have thought it had some sort of magical property to it, because they revealed that he had wires and magnets. But then they wouldn't ever, at least in this story, they wouldn't at this point say what it was.
Well, maybe but when that story came out, they hadn't told us yet that it was a rock. And I got it from another source. I didn't get it at the news conference. They didn't say it.
So have they actually officially revealed that's what it was yet?
See, I can report it because I got it from a source that I believe as accurate.
But LAX
I don't know that
hasn't
it was said. Ever officially released.
Of course, and of course the guy had to be Iraqi. Of course. Of course.
Yeah, that's another weird thing, man. It's like you couldn't ask for a better story.
No, no. That's one of those things where, you know, all the Iraqis who live in the L.A. area just watching the TV going, oh, why did he have to be Iraqi? Why does it have to be Iraqi smuggling space rock in his anus? Good God almighty. You live in a strange...
Philadelphia, for all places, you know?
Yes. Well, it is the city of brotherly love. You live in a strange place, my friend.
It's great.
All right. Jim Roop, are you on the clock tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Well, we will have
speech. Tyler tells you something otherwise.
Well, no, I'm not trying to imply anything. Because I always wanted to, because if you're not going to be there tomorrow, then I was going to wish you a happy weekend today.
Dude, I can't start my weekend unless I talk to you first.
God bless. That's the right answer. God bless you, Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Okay, buddy.
All right, there you go. That's Jim Roop in Los Angeles, guy smuggling a space rock in his butt. All right. It's 503-733-2970 coming up. Scotty J, the Suburban Perspective in the top five. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. Ladies and gentlemen, make way for your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Happened. A Woodland, Washington woman is facing manslaughter charges after police say she allowed a 12-year-old boy to drive, cranked up the car, and died. 34-year-old Kelly Hill is accused of letting 12-year-old Jake Fry drive her 1993 Ford Taurus. Back in February, authorities said Fry was driving the car in Woodland when it slid into another lane and hit an SUV. Fry died at a hospital the next day from wounds suffered in the wreck. Hill and her 12-year-old daughter were passengers in the back seat at the time. They were treated for injuries, but they were fine. Witnesses told police it wasn't the first time that this woman let the youngster drive a car. She was arrested around noontime today. She's being held in Cowlitz County Jail on $500,000 bail.
Oh, God.
A proposal to have all the U.S. troops out of Iraq by the fall of 2008 is being pushed forward by Democrats. If President Bush cannot certify Iraqi forces have reached certain benchmarks, the timetable could be moved up. The measure would be attached to a $100 billion supplementary military budget bill. Republican members of the House are against the proposal, among them Duncan Hunter, who says Congress has no business getting involved in the war.
This is the reason the founding fathers had a commander-in-chief and kept the Congress out of the tactical and strategic military decision-making. The Democrats are trying to get back into that. That's going to hurt them as a party. More importantly, it's going to hurt our armed forces.
The Democrats are they're so useless at this point that I can't even find their failures interesting. It's just another day and another sorry chapter in the Democrats' pathetic attempt to take control of the country. Good God almighty.
That's that.
All right.
Well, it used to be somewhat of a joke or even commonplace in the media to hear about women faking orgasms. It was a big popular topic way back when. It was a topic of conversation in countless romantic comedies, talk shows, and sitcoms. However, new poll shows that men are just as guilty when it comes to faking it. According to a new poll, faking orgasms are not just a women's priority, but startling numbers of men polled, they too have done the dirty deed. According to results from the poll, 48% of 9,100 men polled online say they have faked an orgasm.
What percent?
48.
48, so half.
Really?
So half. Well, you sounded just like the girl in the D.K. Wilds commercial there for a second. Right there. All right, I'm sorry. So 48% of men, the age of safe sex and condom use has made it easier to do that. I don't need to complete that thought, I suppose, for everybody.
You really don't.
I don't need to connect the dots, but condom use, being the norm now has made it a lot easier for men to just be like, I'm fine, can I... Just go to sleep. So just to sort of get that over with.
James Brown dead 73 days.
Wait,
still not in the ground.
I'm sorry. James Brown is what, Tim?
Dead.
James Brown is dead.
73 days. He died on Christmas. Still not buried.
Wrong.
Didn't we, like, 2 weeks ago have some story about how they finally finalized some deal to have him buried? All right, fine.
Several paternity claims are yet to be settled. Brown's trustees want DNA samples taken before the singer is entombed. Meanwhile, the decomposing grandfather of soul is being held in a climate-controlled, undisclosed location.
He's one of music's most famous decomposers.
He's still the hardest working man in show business.
He's the softest man in show business now. He's the spongiest man in show business.
Would he be spongy after all this point, or would he be, like, hard? Wouldn't he be kind of mummy?
No. You have to, I think you have to work, I think you have to take extraordinary steps to make someone a mummy. I think those things, when they dig up somebody from the ground who has been accidentally mummified, I think it's notable because it's not really, it doesn't happen very often. I think that's why those cases get attention, like when you pull a mummified frog or whatever out of your baseboard. Because that's, you know, when you find something that's been accidentally or inadvertently mummified, it's notable because it's the exception, because it's very hard to do. I think mummification, I mean, the Egyptians raised it to an art form, but it was a very exotic process involving all kinds of wraps and chemicals and things you had to prepare the body. The mummification doesn't happen. I mean, left to its own devices, nature just turns everything back into atoms, and then you come back as whatever, part of a flower or something. So I think mummification is not the norm. So no, he is he's a whole lot of spongy squashiness right now. That's what James Brown is. All right. Scotty says that many, many, many people are calling up to say that the space rock was from Uranus. Here's Tim Riley.
But here's somebody who's going to go straight to hell. Police in Orlando, Florida, searching for a man who grabbed a puppy from an 8-year-old boy who was watching and took off in a van.
Oh, that's not right.
Nope. This puppy's name is Snowy. The boy said the man approached him, asked the age of the dog, and then snatched the pet. The man ran away from the boy to an awaiting four-door white vehicle.
That guy should be found and killed.
People.
He should be found, and he should be beaten to death with hammers.
That's that.
All right. Rick, we're going to start referring to him as James Green. James Green.
James Brown is dead.
You can refer to him as James Green. All right, let's take a break. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We come back after this. We'll have Jen Lane, Scotty J, and the Top 5. Don't go anywhere. There's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. The Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. In just a few here, we will introduce Jen Lane to the program once again, and we will have Scotty J with the Suburban Perspective. Let's James Ground. Thank you. The sod father of soul. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's pay a final visit for today to the Ministry of Truth, ladies and gentlemen.
Now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A skull has been found. Clark County authorities investigating a human skull found near a wooded area near the Yale Bridge. They found the skull Tuesday when they were skulking around an area in northern Clark County. They searched the area Wednesday and continued Thursday. They described the search as very labor-intensive because of foliage. The identity of the skull is still unknown. A man was arrested on charges of practicing medicine without a license after a woman died during a liposuction procedure performed in the basement of his home.
With, like, a garden hose and...
This happened in Massachusetts, where people are supposed to be smarter. Luis Carlos Ribeiro, a native of Brazil...
He sounds trustworthy.
...was arraigned in district court following the death of the 23-year-old woman. The Middlesex District Attorney's Office would not release the identity of a woman who died. Police also charged the man with drug possession. A spokeswoman for the DA's office said she did not know what type of drugs he might have been peddling.
The creepy thing about... I mean, there's like hundreds of creepy things about that, but one of them is... I mean, as far as I understand, from my understanding of liposuction, and this is based simply and solely on like 20 minutes that I watched on the Discovery Channel one time, where they basically take a thing that looks like a huge meat thermometer, and they just jam it under your skin, and they sort of like... And they just sort of move it around as though they were just suctioning leaves off the top of a swimming pool. And then it, like, goes into a bag, and then they toss it, and, you know, and then Tyler Durden makes it into soap. Blah, blah, blah. End of story. My thing is, like, he must have been doing something approximating that to have convinced her that it was a good idea in the first place. That's my thing.
Perhaps it was the Latin lover accent that turned these ladies on.
Would you like me to suck the fat out of your body into a bag?
Exactly.
I think that she's going for a Brazilian Latin.
Yeah, she thought it was... No. My thing is this, is that it's not like just getting a dummy pill, right? Like when you think that a guy's going to be giving you like Xanax, and really he's just taking some dirt out of his backyard and put it into a gel cap and then you swallow it. Like, how would you possibly know? You know, the pill's a pill. This guy had some sort of operation set up in his house that looked for all the world like liposuction. So it makes you wonder what he was actually doing and what she died of. Doesn't really say. Does it say what the actual cause of death was?
It does not, no.
Okay. All right, well, there you go. Let's do one more here, and we'll welcome Jen Lane.
Meanwhile, Johnny Depp's 7-year-old daughter, who is reportedly receiving treatment at a British hospital, is much better, according to the publicist. The Daily Mirror reported that Lily Rose, the daughter of Depp and French singer Vanessa Paradise, was admitted to a hospital 9 days ago with a serious illness. The newspaper said it knew the location of the hospital and the nature of the child's ailment, but wasn't revealing details to preserve the family privacy. We're happy to report that the Depp girl is doing much better, said the publicist Robin Baum. The family greatly appreciates the continued support and respect for their privacy. Johnny Depp, by the way, is 43.
God, he's
older than that.
But he only still only looks like he's about 28.
Yeah.
That's just not right. He's got some weird... He must live next to the same power plant that David Bowie lives next to, because it's just... It ain't fair. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, greatest newsman in all of humanity. Thank you, sir.
No, you will.
All right. Scotty J will join us in a few moments for the Suburban Perspective. Let's welcome him to the Rick Emerson Show from barflymag.com. Ow! Oh, I just broke the skin. I just punctured my finger with a ballpoint pen. No, but you know, I cut the tips of my fingers.
Now you'll never be a teenage hand model.
I cut the tips of my fingers on a coffee cup yesterday. Aaron the geek brought me this great coffee cup.
For your self-flagellation program?
Yes.
Celebrating a birthday.
Aaron bought me this coffee mug at the L.A. County Coroner's Office. And the sad thing is you can't do it anymore. I think the city finally decided it was in bad taste and made them quit selling gigaws. So Aaron bought me this great coffee mug for the L.A. County Coroner's Office.
It would be totally ironic if you died from an infection resulting from cutting yourself on it.
Thanks for putting that into my head. And so I drop it, it shatters, and it's like one of those things where I drop it, and I'm immediately then plunging after it, trying to catch it. Like, no! It hits the ground.
That thing just went flying.
It hits the ground. Well, this is after that. I broke it last week, but I had it on my desk.
You've been dropping your stuff a lot more lately after this.
It's appalling.
Drop it like it's hot.
I had it on my desk because I was going to glue it back together. And I knocked it onto the floor, and I'm immediately chasing after it with my hands. And so if you've been looking at this from a third perspective, you would have seen the coffee cup fall through the frame, and then my hands like a half a second after it. And it hits the ground, like shatters, and then it's too late to pull my hand back, and my hand like... into a bunch of razor-sharp shards of ceramic. So, yeah, the tips of my fingers are all effed up now. So that's fantastic. All right.
Hey, an important hand.
How was the... Well, I did want to learn ambidexterity. How was the smallest member judging contest?
You know, it was the contestant list was predictably short.
Was it?
But it was fun.
Were there any freakishly...
You know, I actually only eyeballed one of the two entrants, and I understand that the one...
That's right.
You can't say Violet on the air.
Moving forward.
Oh, that sounds...
Yeah, and it was at the Matador?
Yeah, well, it was at the Matador.
That is exactly the kind of... Yeah, that's totally the kind of place. Hey, I had actually some emails speaking of that and you and your nightlife stuff.
Because yes.
Sunday had been Sabala's last stand.
Yeah, Sabala's last stand.
And they asked if
you actually came to. It was amazing.
I made an appearance. They asked if it was true because you had said that he was going to be sticking around and like... Is he still going to...
Yeah, he's... There's, you know, a transition period, as there are with most clubs. And so, yeah, so for the next 6 months, per their contract, he's going to be assisting the new owner with booking and such.
Excellent.
But I believe that they're going to be doing extensive renovations on the building, so...
Is it going to stay the same kind of vibe, or...?
Well, I know that they're changing the name of it to Legacy.
Which means what?
It sounds like a strip club.
That's exactly what it sounds like to me.
But, yeah, that's all I know. I met the woman who's...
It sounds like an escort
legacy
service.
I thought they were just going to call it Mount Tabor.
Well, this is what I've heard. It's that she's planning on changing the name to Legacy, but that's all I know. She hasn't issued, as far as I know, the official press release yet. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff up in the air.
Maybe if she just wanted to call Legacy, she could call, like, Scamps. That's another name.
Gambit.
Freaks of sophistication. All right. While we're making forward momentum here, let me just with the...
Guy DJ, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not
Scotty,
going
to
join
us here. Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Now joined in the studio by our PA, Scotty J. Hello, sir. What have you brought with us?
How's it going?
What have you brought with you there? What have you printed out to bring in?
Hang on, just a second here. Trying to get my ears.
Plug in his headphones. Don't say you're putting your ears.
Oh man.
What have you brought in with you?
Just stuff to make a bonfire later.
That's it.
I just don't want to be caught off guard.
You have no idea what we're even going to ask you.
Oh, that's good.
What suburban perspective questions have you prepared for? You don't even know which one we're going to be using.
It's just a bunch of words on paper. It means nothing.
Why don't you cover it so that I can't read it and start making fun of you right now?
What suburban perspective topics have you anticipated that we might be visiting today?
Scotty J, the psychic.
I anticipate that you may say something about Coulter, or you may say something about
Coulter.
What about how the Beaverton police don't care about old ladies?
Is that true?
Don't they keep losing old ladies? Letting them go.
What do you mean losing?
She was here. Exposure on mountain roads.
Oh, that did. There was one of those a couple weeks ago, actually. It's a strange time in Portland for the police, the period.
That was not in Beaverton, though. She was out off of Milwaukee or something like that.
Substitute suburban police for Beaverton.
Are we talking about the same case where there was the...
Wait a minute. Milwaukee.
To me, Beaverton and suburb are synonymous.
All right.
That was Milwaukee.
What other subjects have you prepared for today, Scotty?
I thought possibly Libby might come up in this somehow.
No.
Okay, good. Great.
Did you ever talk about how his lawyer cried?
No, did he really?
Yeah. When he's closing argument, he says to the jury, he's like, I've been protecting him for the last 6 months. Please give him back to me. Give him back to me.
No crying in politics.
Yeah.
No, there's that. Well, and just that Scooter Libby guy, he's just such a Weasley-looking bastard, man.
Does that make him guilty?
In this case, what he did made him guilty.
No, I think it was the guilt that made him guilty.
Please don't make me go into this.
It was actually the guilt and the being convicted by a jury that made him guilty. That's just my perspective on it.
Is it possible that he's a scapegoat and they're just looking to, put anybody in jail?
Well,
he's
not the only guilty person who's working in the White House.
Why are you talking about Scooter Libby?
He's innocent. Totally.
Can I convey to you the depth to which I don't care?
Being a scapegoat does not mean that you're innocent.
Seriously. It just means that you're taking the fall.
Yeah.
You're taking the blame.
The libs are out there saying that Libby, it compares to like Adolf Hitler or like is some of those type of people.
Who's Libby?
Who said that?
Scooter Libby.
Hold on.
It was on some of the liberal radio.
Yeah, what? Hold on.
What, hold on. What liberal compared Scooter Libby to Adolf Hitler?
I'm not sure who it was exactly. I just heard it on the radio. I swear it.
Who said that? No one said that. There's no one anywhere that has ever compared Scooter Libby to Hitler.
No, they compared him to somebody like that.
So who was Hitler?
I was talking to Sarah about it this morning. And
oh, Scooter Hitler.
I can't remember who they're calling him. They're saying it's his
name. They definitely didn't say Hitler.
Who is like Hitler that they could have compared him to?
Who is like Hitler?
Well, you said they compared him to Hitler or someone like that, such as...
This is the problem here, is they were comparing him to somebody, and
And it wasn't Hitler, somebody you confused with Hitler.
Exactly.
Such as...
Who could they have mentioned
that you would confuse with Hitler?
They mentioned somebody really bad today that they were comparing Libby to, and
Charlie Chaplin kind of looks like Hitler.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I had a brain lapse there. They were comparing Libby to Al Capone. Okay, so Hitler, forget that.
Honestly, how would you confuse Al Capone and Hitler?
I don't know.
How does Al Capone compare to Scooter Libby?
That's what I'm asking what I'm asking these liberals that are comparing him.
What liberals are you talking about? Who, where?
I randomly went through the channels, and Portland is riddled with a lot of liberal channels, and I heard them, I don't know who it was exactly, but they were comparing Scooter Libby to Al Capone, saying that he went down for tax evasion, but He's really guilty of murder. Exactly.
Now, moving forward. So we've been taking submissions from the audience today for today's installment of the Suburban Perspective. And we have two, actually. We'll do one, and then we'll do the second one if we have time here. And this first one I'm going to have to paraphrase, and it is actually something that I was sort of wondering in the back of my head. So I will paraphrase this first one that somebody submitted because it sort of converges with something I was wondering last week. And that is, now, do your children, Scotty, attend a public school?
Yes, they do.
Okay, and so the question was, are your children taught evolution in school? And if so, do you try to unlearn that from them when they come home?
I don't know the answer to that, actually. They never talk about that. But I know right now that Democrats want all religion out of schools. Therefore, they can't really talk about it in the schools, which is a joke, and I think they should. You should be able to say the Pledge of Allegiance and to your God and country.
They just added the God part in the 50s, right?
Well, listen to you is like having a record in on an earthquake sometimes where you've like you just skipped through like 9 different things. All right, so
okay,
but do you know what your children
do? You know what your children do at school?
No, I do not.
Do you know that your children are even there?
I rarely talk to
them. They could be off with mailman Chris's kid murdering cats right now.
Perhaps.
No, I'm theoretically.
He's carrying on trench coats and seeing other guns fit in a pocket.
They're taking showers together.
The funny part is every time you bring me in here, mailman Chris gets pulled into it or sucked into it somehow.
So you're actually not even sure if your children are taught evolution.
Correct.
If they
don't believe they are.
But they are going to school?
What are they taught about, would you suspect, about how things evolve?
I don't really even know if they talk about that in school. That's the thing.
Well, I'm presuming that your
kids...
First of all, they're still...
They talk about evolution in Oregon.
I would almost guarantee that if your kids go to an Oregon public school, they are taught the theory of evolution.
My son's in third grade.
Yes.
My daughter's in seventh. And she hasn't said anything.
Do they like dinosaurs?
My son likes
dinosaurs. How long have you been divorced?
What are your
divorce?
What are your children's middle names?
You live with your family?
Do you even have children? We've never seen them.
Yeah,
we actually
have. I live in a basement.
Yeah, we've never actually seen your children. All right, if your children were being taught that, would you have a problem with it?
No, I want them to know both theories, actually.
Okay.
Both sides. I'm totally open.
All right. So if your children were...
See, that's the thing about me, is I'm open to, like, you know, politically, I'm open to the Democrat side, but it doesn't make a lot of sense.
You know, are you under the impression that anybody on the show is a Democrat?
Well, let me ask you a couple quick questions.
Okay. This sounds like Mormons at my door.
When we had this last election for Bush, who'd you vote for?
I did not vote for George Bush, I'll tell you
who'd
that.
Who'd you vote for?
I voted for anybody who is not George Bush.
Okay, who did you vote for?
I actually voted for John Kerry.
There you go. So how
doesn't make
you
me
say...
It doesn't make me a Democrat.
You say you're not a Democrat when he was clearly representing the
Democratic
Party.
I drive a car. It doesn't make me Allens or Junior.
If you're not a Democrat, why would you vote for one?
Because I wanted someone else.
Okay. But see, that's why I, when you ask me that question, do you think that anybody in this room is Democratic, I would get confused because I certainly didn't vote for Kerry.
Let me ask you this. Jen Lane is on the show. Does that make her a talk show host?
When I'm here, yes.
Not a host,
yeah.
A guest.
Okay.
A talk show guest.
Yeah, I voted to have someone else as president.
Okay,
so.
But he clearly had Democratic views.
Does that mean I could vote for someone else?
He clearly had Democratic views.
And an agenda.
All right. Okay.
All right,
well, no one on this show is a Democrat.
Good to know.
So
good to know, Rick.
I will tell you that.
I would hate that.
Yeah, all right, thank you. All right, let's take a few of these calls. Is that...
All right. Anyway,
hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
David, good afternoon.
Hey, what's up?
It's so hard to listen to Scotty and his uneducated views on so many things, not having any idea what your kids are learning at school. I mean, what kind of parenting is that?
Did I say
well,
I don't...
thank God they don't need to spend so much time with him.
Yeah.
Well, he lives
every other weekend.
Right.
Supervised.
I didn't say that I don't know what my kids are learning in school.
Yes,
I said
you did. You don't know if they learn evolution.
That's right.
Have you ever looked at their science book to see if evolution's in their science book?
Well, who has time? There's drinking to do.
You're barely even old enough now to be learning this stuff. How do you know that?
Son's
in third grade.
How about your seventh grader?
Yeah, you know, when I was in seventh grade,
that's the daughter. She doesn't count.
They were...
Well, it doesn't matter whether she
can. He tried to smother her early on anyway.
I suggest you maybe sit down and talk to your kids about what they learn in school and maybe help them learn something. Are you an example of conservative family values and how to raise children?
Yes, sir, I am. As a matter of fact, I helped my daughter do a project just the other night that she had to turn in.
But you don't know what she's doing in science class. You have to check out her science book to see if evolution's at.
Such bitterness.
They don't have a science class, per se, right now at this age.
Oh, maybe next year they will.
Okay, all right, thank you. Thank you, sir. All right. Yeah, no, trust me, and I don't think anybody in this room was really happy to be voting for John Kerry either. I think John Kerry was fundamentally useless on almost every level. So
hey, there was
it wasn't
another,
like that guy was any prize.
There was another guy you could have voted for that just kind of was there taking away votes.
There's dozens of people that I could have voted
for. No, in this last vote, there was Bush, Kerry, and another guy that just kind of took away votes from the other two.
And that guy's name was?
I don't know.
No, there's like, in every election, there's like 50 guys running.
Can we have Ralph Nader?
Was that the third guy that was running? He took like 2% of the vote.
I thought Nader didn't run in the last. He ran in 2000, which.
Well, Nader, there's actually a great documentary about that. It's Cinema 20 runner that Unreasonable Man is playing right now.
Did you see they misspelled Nader, or they misspelled Ralph Nader when he was appearing at the Baghdad a few weeks ago?
Fantastic. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. You're on the Suburban Perspective.
Rick.
Hi.
Hey, this is kind of a slash, do you remember Suburban?
Mm-hmm.
So, you remember the Libby's?
Yes, I do.
On the label.
Yes,
label.
I do. You will like it.
I have no idea. I have no idea what we're talking about.
You don't?
No.
You don't remember that?
No, I'm sorry.
What they were frozen dinners called Libby's Frozen Dinners, and typically they would have like a pirate on the cover of the frozen dinner, like a banquet dinner. And when you open it up, you got like a prize, and you also got a dessert of some kind in your frozen dinner. And
right.
It was called Libby's.
Oh, I do remember that, actually.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a few more. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, I was wondering if I could send Scotty J my doctor bill because I've jammed ice picks in both of my ears listening to his hill-high Spartan takes.
Maybe you can be the first guest on the Dr. J Show.
Thank you.
Yeah, apparently you went to school with me, so.
All right, hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Hello, is the phone up? All right, okay. For the love of good God almighty. It's like a shock caller having that thing. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. And we'll do one more. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. And we're done. All right, there you go. That was a full bank.
That was successful.
I went through a full bank, and there wasn't a single usable caller.
I know what's going on there.
What's going on there, Scotty?
When the caller is actually there, which is right now,
mm-hmm.
When you hang up, then it will blink again like someone's there, and you got a double hang up.
Let's try it. Hello, Rick Emerson Show.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, Shazam.
Hey, that's Gomer Pyle saying that, right?
Yes.
No, actually... This is the same gal who called earlier. Just went through some more tapes. There was a cartoon show, evidently, on these things.
Oh, yeah. I remember getting a running commentary from someone going through drawers in their house.
Sorry.
Not at all.
No, it was real life, but it was like on Saturday mornings, evidently.
Yeah, that guy is hot.
He's traveling in a Winnebago.
Do you have R2 on there? Because nobody ever remembers R2 except for me. And I loved R2.
This whole segment is like going through that junk drawer underneath your microwave. That's what this sounds like.
Sorry, it was just too good to pass.
No. When you get a chance, you got to break out in an email, though, all of that stuff that ended up being on those VHS tapes and drop it to us.
Totally have it gone. I'm finding stuff that's just astronomical.
Fantastic. All right.
Astronomical. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you. There you go. All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk to Jen Lane around the corner. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Stay there. As part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Rick, about house centipedes. People seem to be using the word centipede and millipede interchangeably here. Let's see. It eats dust mites, spiders, etc., not people. Unless you see it spitting at you while carrying off a baby's arm or something, you're okay to kill it or catch it Lisa Goddard style and let it go outside. After we figured out what these were, I stopped screaming like a girl and standing on the toilet while my wife was directed to squash it with a plunger. Yeah.
Years ago?
What?
Yeah, I had one like a year and a half ago, but it was in the sink, not in the... Not in the bathtub.
Rick.
Yeah, that was making my skin crawl when I was back home getting ready to come on.
We're with Jen Lane.
Talk about that before.
Rick, this is a true story told to me by my... it happened to my wife. I wanted to tell you what happened to my wife. My wife woke up early one morning in excruciating pain. She was rushed to the hospital by her family. At the hospital, my wife pled with the doctors to help her for about 30 to 60 minutes. The nurses and doctors kept asking her if she'd taken any drugs, hallucinogens, or had been drinking, etc. Finally, my wife screamed, "Just get out your effing flashlight and look for yourself." The doctor did and said, "Oh, my God." They pulled a huge earwig out of my wife's ear. I'm sorry. Maybe laughter wasn't... I really was just laughing at the horrific response. You guys had like a 1-2-3 jinx thing. Rick, whatever happened to 7-Up Gold? I don't even... 7-Up Gold?
7-Up Gold.
I don't even remember 7-Up Gold.
I remember
nothing.
Pepsi Gold.
We're here with Jen Lane. Let's do one more call here. This is Bill. Hello, sir. Thanks. Thank you.
Bill's kind of annoying.
Bill sucks. Bill, you can never call again. You do have a distinctive speaking style, though. Jen Lane, what's up?
So, I know you're really sick of talking about your birthday, but I did. I bought you a present for your birthday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Thank you. You know, Sarah spent...
As I do every year, although you have yet to even buy me a drink for any occasion ever.
That's not true.
Even though we share almost a birthday, but...
That's not true. I've purchased you many drinks. That's a lie.
That's a total lie.
Sarah doesn't need
anyone to buy her drinks. She gets a lie as well, Sarah. Who doesn't need anyone to buy your drinks either.
Sarah spent almost $2 on me yesterday for my birthday.
Oh, stop. It's people should buy us drinks at every opportunity because that's what we're here for, right?
Yes. Well, so what did you...
So what I got for you is I bought you every... everythingbuttsex.com.
Really?
Yeah, with the two T's. Okay. I thought maybe you could use it for your listener party or something. Or maybe perhaps for a second career.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
That is very sweet.
For nothing else, I can just sort of squat with that, and somebody will eventually want to buy. Larry
exactly.
Flynn will eventually want to buy for it. Thank you so much.
An investment in your future.
Thank you. That means a lot to me. Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Now I do feel good.
That was very kind.
Let's see. Rick, about the anchor for ABC News, it used to be Charles Gibson. Now it's Elizabeth Vargas. That's right. She was on The View, and she left. And because Charles Gibson went to...
I thought that was Meredith Vieira.
I don't even know. Well, then where's Elizabeth Vargas from?
Is that the annoying blonde one? I know, she sounds like she could be Puerto Rican.
I don't know. I have no idea. We were just talking about how the fact that none of us here watch the evening news on any of the networks at all. All right.
Because it's happy hour, dude.
Rick, I believe that hideous creature is a silverfish. Everybody keeps looking at this.
It's not a silverfish. Silverfish are tiny. Yeah.
And they're silver.
It has four legs, and this thing has about 35.
Silverfish are like a quarter of an inch long.
A drag queen might wear, or a millipede of some sort. The millipedes are more like... Aren't millipedes more like caterpillars with lots of legs?
Well, this thing has lots of legs.
Yeah, but it's not
this
furry.
This looks like a roach with a lot of legs.
Yeah, this is bad. Like, the people are using centipede and millipede interchangeably. Now, were you able to get your friend Kiki to go by and clean out the bathtub?
No, she's in class, so I'm going to...
What? You live with two boys.
And they're both at work, though.
Yeah, they're not, you know.
Oh, by the way, that guy that called, I can't remember if it was a caller, he was saying he was making fun of his wife while she's freaking out in the shower.
Yeah.
He won't get whatever it was off of her.
Yeah.
You know, I have broken up with guys for not taking the spider out. You know? I'm serious. I think it's a major character flaw, you know? I mean, I would do it for them if I wasn't petrified,
The true story, actually, when my wife was in New Mexico about 10 days ago. She spent about 4 days in New Mexico. She'd never been there before. And she's, like, way more adventurous than I am. She'd never been there. And she just literally looked at the map and, like, picked a city she'd never gone to. She's like, I'm just going to go there for 5 days. I don't know anybody. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to arrive in New Mexico and, like, see what happens. So she spent, like, 4 days there. And she was at, like, some not even the hotel, but, like, a cabin, like, way out in the sticks, you know, whatever. And just doing, like, climbing a rock or whatever it is she does. And she called me at, like, 2 in the morning from New Mexico. She's like, there's a huge black spider above my bed in this New Mexico cabin. What should I do? It's the same thing that Sarah did this morning. She's like, what am I supposed to do? And I realized that she didn't really need my help to get rid of the spider because I couldn't do anything anyway because I was in Portland. She's in New Mexico. She just needed my thoughts on it. Like, she just needed male input on how to deal with it. And I just said...
Somebody to talk her down.
You know what? I finally just told her. And this is the proof. Is I actually said to her, I said... Is the spider advancing on you or threatening you in any way? And she said, no. And I said...
Teaser it.
I said, I believe you and the spider should just have a detente for the night. If it doesn't bother you, don't bother it.
Sleep when you can see the spider.
No, here's the thing. And I said, if it's not bothering you, don't bother it. It'll be gone in the morning. And she said, really? And I said, yeah. And she said... Okay. She went to sleep, and that's all it was. I don't know. I might have been totally wrong.
Older woman than I.
Yeah, she probably ate it while she was sleeping. Yeah, so it's cold in her mouth.
Oh,
you know that.
No, it does not. That's a lie.
Doesn't the average person eat like 2 or 3 spiders a year?
That's what I hear.
That's why we're above average.
And you eat a pound of rat droppings in your life, too.
What?
It's true. What's going on in the world of Barfly magazine?
Well, let's see. In the world of Barfly, things are going very well. We just added a fifth bus for St. Patrick's Day, and it's already almost sold out.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and that's a record setter. We've never had 5 buses all at once for one holiday. So, excited about that. And the last few tickets are at barflymag.com. And I'm going to turn very old on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah, it's my 38th birthday.
Oh, I never would believe that.
What are you going to be doing now? Besides turning old, I have to work tonight. I have a charter Barfly bus for somebody else's birthday. 30th. I'm going to try not to be too resentful.
Yeah, you're still not going to have to pay for a drink all night. You know that.
Better not.
All right. Barflymag.com, ladies and gentlemen. We want to thank CNN radio correspondents Ed McCarthy, Jim Roop, and Lisa Goddard. Coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, we'll talk to Tyler Moody, who's the overlord of CNN radio in Atlanta. And we'll talk to Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. You stay there. As always, the Rick Emerson Show, produced today and every day with all the talented Sarah Zillin, Tim Riley, Scotty J., and Dave Zinn. Like us next. See you tomorrow. Bye.